jobs. You know, if you've got a good one, you should count yourself lucky. I certainly do. Both the mayor and the premier have made the point that a new development at Yeroomba could result in a lot of work for young people growing up here on the coast. We heard talk this morning from the developer. Maybe 700 jobs could be created out of that new Sekasui House development that's being talked about at the moment. They might otherwise have to move or perhaps do the hideous daily drive to Brisbane, as I know many of you do. Now, figures on the coast for unemployment have the rate much higher than the national rate, which has had a couple of interesting monthly results in July and August, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Richard Dennis is an economist and executive director of the Australian Institute. Richard, good morning. There's been talk that the results are questionable. Which ones? The higher figure in July of 6.4% or the lower one in August of 6.1%? Which one are we talking about?
Oh, look, I think most people are most concerned about this month's lower unemployment figure. Almost everything about the way we measure unemployment surprises people. Our estimate of unemployment has nothing at all to do with the number of people who are on welfare. All of our figures for employment and unemployment come from a very big survey that's run each month by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. And as with any survey, there's a margin for error. And I think most people think that the survey, the most recent survey of unemployment, is excessively optimistic.
So how does the Bureau achieve its job statistics? How does it do it?
Well, it actually it surveys around 60,000 people at a time. Now, to put that into perspective, when we read a poll about how the government is going, you know, the opinion polls for who's going to win the next election, those are usually surveys of 1,000, maybe 1,500 people. So 60,000 people is a huge survey. Some of your listeners will inevitably have been in it at some point. The first survey is face-to-face. One knocks on your door and says, hello, I'm from the ABS. And then if you want, you can do subsequent surveys on the phone, because once you're asked to be on the survey, you will be in it. You will be in it for 6 months.
It's a commitment.
It is a commitment, but it's not voluntary. The ABS will really twist your arm into doing it, because they don't want a survey of people who feel like being surveyed. They want a survey of randomly selected Australians. So, but look, it's the most accurate number around. Let me be very clear, no one's got better data. But I think most people think this number is just one of those things that comes out in a survey every now and then.
So how likely is it that 121,000 jobs were created last month?
Look, it's very unlikely, and the reason we say that is because the ABS and others collect data on lots of things at the same time. So we've got data on retail sales, we've got data on investment, we've got data on imports and exports. And usually, if you saw a big jump in employment, you would also see a big jump in retail sales, a big jump in construction activity. You know, people are employed to do something,
yep.
and we measure the something as well as the employment. So the reason people think the number is probably a bit out this month is, A, it's very, very big. It's the biggest one-off jump we've ever seen. And B, other things aren't happening at the same time that you'd usually expect would happen if the economy was booming along like that.
For the purposes of publishing statistic, what constitutes a job?
Oh, well, that's interesting. The ABS defines you as employed if you worked for more than 1 hour in the survey period, more than 1 hour.
Gee.
Now,
it's a low threshold.
Well, it's a very low threshold, but from the ABS point of view, it makes sense. This isn't new. It's not a scam. This is the definition that's been used for 50 years, and it's the definition used around the world. But there are problems with it. But from the ABS point of view, what they really want to do is put people into three different categories, first and foremost: employed, unemployed, or not in the labour force. So you either got a job, you don't have a job and you want one, or for a lot of people, you don't have a job and you don't want one. Now, that includes people who are retired, people who are unable to work, or people who are perhaps, you know, home caring for kids. So it kind of makes sense to break people up into employed and unemployed. But, yeah, if you're only employed for 1 hour, sure, you've got a job, but that's not the kind of job that people are probably thinking of. And it's certainly working for 1 hour a week, almost inevitable you won't have enough money to look after yourself.
There should be a separate category called tenuously employed.
Well, there are a bunch of other categories. Well, you're not far off it. We actually have measures of what's called precarious employment.
Okay.
And the ABS, aren't silly. They know the limitations of this stuff. They've got data on underemployment. So, for example, people who don't have very many hours and who would like more hours, we can describe them as underemployed. But the reality is we have this big political kind of battle around who's better at reducing unemployment or what happened when I was in government, what happened to the unemployment rate. We do tend to focus obsessively on this one number when in reality figures of underemployment or hidden unemployment are just as significant to people's lives as the statistical definition of unemployment.
It's 12 to 10, 90.3, 95.3. I'm speaking with Richard Dennis on ABC Sunshine Coast this morning. He's an economist and executive director of the Australia Institute, and we're looking at unemployment figures and those especially published by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Richard, the ABS was subject to funding cuts back in March. Is that likely to affect the accuracy of the data it publishes?
Look, I don't think it's the cause of this particular which sort of flukish number, but I do think it does affect the accuracy and the usefulness of ABS data. For example, the ABS's capacity to put more work into measuring that underemployment, that precarious employment I was just talking about, is diminished by budget cuts. Similarly, the way we measure inflation is 20% less accurate than it used to be because of quite explicitly because of the funding cuts. So, yeah, if we really want to understand what's happening in our society, if we really want to understand what's happening in our economy, it makes a bit of sense to spend the money collecting accurate data. And I think it's very short-sighted for the government to have cut the ABS budget. Because how can you manage the economy if you don't actually know what it's doing?
Is there a correlation between the Australian dollar and job figures? And if so, can you explain?
Yes, there is a correlation. Can I explain? Sort of. Look, the kind of people who buy and sell things all day long are obsessed with all data. So, yes, employment figures do have an impact on our exchange rate. The main sort of link is as follows. If the economy is booming along, the government is more likely to increase interest rates. And the RBA is more likely to increase interest rates. And if the economy is going really slowly, the RBA is likely to cut interest rates. Now, if interest rates are high in Australia, people overseas are more likely to want to invest here. And if interest rates are low here, then they're probably less likely to want to invest here. So strong jobs figures means the odds of our interest rates going up are increased, and that'll probably push the dollar up. But I don't think the foreign exchange markets yesterday really believed that really strong employment number, and in turn, I don't think they think interest rates will jump, and in turn, it didn't have much impact on the dollar.